After you're done listening to The Rush Hour, check out The Tradie Show, the podcast for tradies at lifestyletradie.com.au.
Welcome to The Rush Hour. Happy birthday, Triple M, 42 years. Gus Warland here with Jude Bolton, and Aaron Woods is in for Wendell. How are you, Jude?
Mate, really well. Yeah, big happy birthday to Triple M. I can remember being a kid and all I wanted at the back of our mum and dad's car was the Triple M Rocks football bumper sticker.
Hard to find.
Very hard to find. And then they started doing it in all the team colours and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Exciting stuff. What about you, Woods? You've been a listener to Triple M forever?
Yeah, no, big happy 42nd birthday. And every time I used to go to the Easter show, my grandmother used to always say, can you get a Triple M show bag? Because the big black mug, the Triple M mug.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so always she always wanted that. So, it's been a part of my family.
There's a few around the offices here.
They're floating around. Awesome.
They certainly are. And beautiful memories. I was just writing them down today. You know, the New York Marathon, taking the team, the grill team, and how loose we were for that week in New York was quite incredible. Going to Gallipoli with MG was incredible. Flying into Istanbul and having a week there, then, you know, making our way to Gallipoli and then back to Istanbul. And we had so much fun
all
at
on
night.
All on the ticket.
Hey, mate, we're broadcasting back into our listeners.
It's for the people, isn't it, Gus? For the people.
Doing the show midnight till 3 a.m. I did that for the Olympics in 2012 in London and trying to get the line right in Delhi for the Commonwealth Games back in 2010 as well. But this is a highlight. I want to play you. This actually didn't happen on Triple M.
What?
But it happened upstairs at Today FM when I was on the grill team.
The other day I had a sex dream about Gus from Triple M's breakfast show.
Oh, that's the beast. Is that a sex dream or is that some sort of attack?
I don't know, but it was just random.
We've got someone up here now.
Oh, yeah, here comes Gus.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good, mate.
I had a sex dream about you, Gus.
I tell you what, I might need to just go and spend some time alone.
Oh, stop.
We weren't in bed, were we, Dad?
No, we were outside.
Oh, yeah.
Outside.
That's where you and I would be. We'd be outside.
We're outside where?
Well, it was like we were at a high school or something.
Yeah.
And
High school?
Yeah, we were at a high school. It was like we were young and...
But you were still the same?
Yeah, but we were still the same.
Yeah.
You know how dreams work like that?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we couldn't resist each other.
Well, you know, it was like we were soulmates.
I love it.
Mm.
42 years and that's the highlight you pull out.
Well... Jackie O wanting to make love to me is a highlight for me, Jude. I know I don't look like you, so I don't get women like you. Jackie O throwing themselves at me that often.
What did Kyle call you?
That's a beast!
What about did you hear Gus?
Hey, Kyle, just quietly, have a look in the mirror, champ.
What about your little creepy?
Yeah, I know. It does sound creepy. Anyway, big show coming up. Welcome back to The Rush Hour. Gus, Jude and Wendell. Aaron Woods in for Wendell. And this is an enormous story coming out of the government and NRL at the moment. Gee, NRL can find a way to fill some papers, boys. And we're going to talk to the Sydney Morning Herald's senior sports reporter, Michael Chamis, right now to explain the fact that we might lose the grand final to Queensland. What's happening, Michael?
Well, it just never goes away, this stadium war situation. And now there's talk that the government's set to scrap their funding for the suburban grounds. So it looks that threat that the NRL had over the grand final remaining in New South Wales. Well, if they pull the funding, the NRL will certainly start talking to Queensland and looking at moving that grand final away. Now, I'm sure none of us want to see that happen, but the reality was the NRL were under the impression that the government were going to follow through on a pledge to invest $700-800 million in the suburban grounds. Now, we know they're doing $300 million in Penrith. The remaining funds were supposed to go to Brookie and Leichhardt and Cronulla. They're set to pull that money, and the NRL are filthy.
Is this just Peter Vallandis just waving the heavy fist and just trying to shock them into, I guess, making that contribution to the suburban grounds?
Some people will say that they've got no leg to stand on. There's nothing in writing. It's just it was a verbal agreement between the New South Wales government and the NRL to invest that money. But the reality is that means if the money's not invested, the original agreement to sign a long-term deal for the grand final to stay in New South Wales, it no longer stands. It means that the NRL can explore its options. Now, will they take the grand final away? I don't know. It's going to be a pretty gutsy move to do that. But there's no doubt there's going to be plenty of money on offer from the Queensland government. But also, Peter Vallandis and the NRL have spoken about a Super Bowl style concept where they can take the grand final on the road and send it to the highest bidder. And we talked Perth, and we've obviously mentioned Melbourne before and Brisbane, potentially an overseas venue. The NRL are open to all this. Whether or not they follow through, time will tell. But you can be guaranteed there are some pretty upset people now at the NRL, but also in clubland. Lee Hadjipantelis, the Tigers chairman, who thought they were benefiting from $50 million of upgrade to Leichhardt Oval. He said the state government are amateurish and embarrassing, and, wow. and he said it'd be outrageous if Penrith retained their stadium for the obvious political benefit of its local member, which is obviously Stuart Ayres out there at Penrith in his electorate. So it's going to get ugly, this one.
So are we a chance of playing at God's Country at Leichhardt Oval, mate?
Well, mate, I think the grand final at Leichhardt, that'd be a good one, wouldn't it?
It'd bring the fans back, don't you worry.
Michael, what about this end of the deadline day madness? You know, this August 1 signing deadline that's outraged fans and sort of certainly made the powerhouse clubs a little bit stronger. Is that set to be scrapped because Peter doesn't like it? And if Peter doesn't like it, he just puts a line through it, doesn't he?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm surprised it snuck through for this long, because the only reason it was moved from June 30 to August 1, boys, was because COVID hit in 2020 and the season went into, I think, early November and late October. So they extended that. They just never changed it back. And clubs, as we know, they try to milk the system and try to take advantage. And I don't blame them. We saw Tevita Pangai Jr. last year go from Brisbane to the Panthers. Missed out on a grand final because he got injured. But there are clubs there thinking, okay, why not exploit the rules? If they're there to be exploited, we can bring in a player. We've got money up our sleeve to try and help us win a comp. Now, Valandis doesn't like that, and I'm sure that'll change for next year. But this year, there are a couple of players changing teams before that deadline. And
what about the Storm asking for Adokar? That's just disgraceful, isn't it? You know, like, fair dinkum. Anyway, Jude.
Rhys Walsh, it's a joke.
I wanted to quickly ask you just about the match review committee and Luke Patton's explanation around Nelson Asafa Solomona. There was not enough evidence. Did you agree with that at all?
I think there was a lot of people baffled by the decision not to charge him and the explanation as well, to be honest with you.
It wasn't
enough force, wasn't it? He ripped out six teeth.
Yeah,
his teeth were everywhere.
That's where you're going wrong, isn't it? You should go harder next time and then you can get a charge. I'm dumbfounded, to be honest with you, with what's going on. I don't mind the system. Everyone keeps talking about the system's broken. I don't think it's the system. It's some of the interpretations from the people in charge to decide that's not worthy of a charge. How is that not worthy? And then we see Dale Finucane and Stephen Crichton clash the other week, and all of a sudden he misses a lot of games. It's just the consistency around the decision makers rather than the system that's upsetting people.
Just common sense. You know, with the Finucane one, you go, it's an accident, it's a fine, you move on, he's not a dirty player.
Not even a fine.
Well, just to give him something, you know what I mean? But there you go. Michael, thank you so much. We could talk to you forever, mate. Don't be a stranger. Thanks for joining us on the show for the first time.
Appreciate it. If Woodsy can get a job with you, I'm sure.
Mate,
we've got some gibberers.
The Dragons apart, Jim. He's doing a good job.
do you want to have a word to him about that? Yeah. He's upset with how you keep bagging his Dragons, Michael, okay? So relax.
If they start winning some games, we'll let him off.
Look at him.
Sporting rivalries, especially when it happens in your family.
Yeah.
I know families over in England where they live in the Liverpool area and some are Everton supporters and some are Liverpool supporters. And that obviously is difficult. The same thing with Man United and Man City. What's it like in AFL, big fella?
Yeah, I think it's all the big clubs particularly where families are split. It might be Collingwood, Essendon, and so they play the Anzac Day clash. When I was playing, it was Sydney and West Coast were the big rivalry because we played in such big games. But when a family is split and there's just that tension as the game comes up, or when they're mapping it out during when the draw's released and say, when we're on. And whether there's someone's walking out middle of the game because they're just filthy with it, like cannot deal with the banter.
Imagine if you were playing and your daughters decided to wear Giants gear, for instance, at the Sydney Derby.
Yeah.
How would that make you feel?
They can sleep outside.
Yeah. No, you know. So, Woodsy, something's come across our desk.
Yep.
That your son is a Shark supporter.
Tragic Shark supporter.
Tragic.
It drives me mad.
Okay, so tell us about Buster. Tell us his age. Tell us his favourite players all that jazz.
So Buster's 3 years old. He's a massive Cronulla Sharks supporter.
Who's his favourite player?
His favourite player is Renato Mulitano, a winger, a dead set winger.
Mate, what a try he scored.
Great try, but he's a winger. That's all he does all game. So it's so frustrating. But what happened? So when we were in the bubble up in Brisbane last year, Ronaldo would get him milkshakes every morning, lunchtime. He'd bring him chocolates. And so, Ronnie, mate, you didn't have to go back to the room and put up with this kid.
Yeah.
Hey. So he's just
wind him up.
Yeah, mate, winds him up. And then each week, Ronaldo puts Buster on his, he wears sort of tape on his wrist and he's got it there and he sends it to me. And Buster wants to send him back a video and go, Ronnie, score me a try, please. I said, son, you're talking to a winger. He doesn't even play footy.
So when the Sharkies play against your Dragons,
yes, we got
son will
week.
Be going.
We got them this week. I've told my wife, Sarah, if we lose, Bus can get his own way home. And if we win, he can come home with me.
Let's throw it out there on 133353. The sporting rivalries amongst your family. Liverpool Football Club and Everton, Man City, Man United, East and South, obviously in the NRL, and plenty in that Jude spoke about in the AFL as well. Let's go to Tom in Penrith. Tell us about those family divides, brother.
Hey, guys. So I'm a diehard Penrith supporter in the NRL, and Dad's a diehard born and bred Broncos supporter up in Brisbane.
Yep.
And he's living in Penrith. So he cops it from the whole family.
Everyone gives it
from me. Funniest story is that we won the minor premiership the year they got the spoon.
Oh, that's gold.
So he's got shirts with the spoon on it. He got wooden spoons stuffed at him, the whole lot.
Good on you, Tom.
Yeah.
Good man. What about Matt in Campbelltown? G'day, Matt.
How are you, Matt?
How you going, boys? All right? How are we?
Good.
Yeah, really well.
What's the family divide?
Look, Gussie, I'm a little bit embarrassed he's even gone there with Everton and Liverpool, mate. That's no longer.
No, I understand. I understand, brother. Yeah.
But it's got to be Man United and Liverpool, mate. That's the only one there. The two biggest clubs in Europe. And all my family except me go for Liverpool. And it happened because of 1986. I was allowed to stay up and watch the game late at midnight, and we beat Everton 3-1, and Craig Johnson was the Aussie.
Yeah, I totally remember.
And,
yeah,
yeah, and so I started following Liverpool from that day, and now it's my dad, my wife, my brother, my nephews. Everyone follows the Dirty Manx, and I'm the only Liverpoolian.
I love you, Matt, and your family. They're a disgrace. Are you a Man United supporter?
No,
Quincy?
Just anyone
against
you.
Arsenal.
Oh, we've got a caller now from the Shire region. Might be Ronaldo on the wing there for the Sharkies. Ronaldo, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, legend.
Great. So Buster loves you the most, and he supports the Sharkies rather than his dad's filthy Dragons.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Like, you know, Buster's my boy, obviously. We spent a bit of time together, and he's just, you know, he's obviously a smart kid.
I can't believe his favourite player is a dead set winger.
So, it just makes it all right. Buster's my boy, and...
just remember, Ronnie, when we'll be on the weekend, you can go take him home and feed him dinner and sniff him, mate, all right?
100%. I hope he has a nice shirt on him, come shark blue. Sarah will be loving it.
You're a knucklehead, mate.
Ronaldo, tell us about the weekend. Incredible scenes down at Shark Park with the one-point win and your incredible try as well.
Yeah, obviously it's nice to win. Everything's flowing at the moment for us, and now we've got the Drag Queens this week, so I'm really excited to get stuck into Woodsy and the boys there and have Bussy supporting us while, you know, hopefully we get it up.
Well, mate, your try was pretty spectacular because you don't really do too much in the game, so you'd be nice and fresh to get in there. But what's your plans for this week, mate? How's the game plan looking?
Us wingers, we call ourselves the engine room, I guess. Taking all the hard carries with you, know how it is.
Turn it up.
Rolling the sleeves up at times. So, it's same old with you, know how it is. Just running straight through the middle and see how we go.
Hey, speaking of running through the middle, Andrew Fifita's try. What did you make of it?
It's a special moment. Like, Woody knows how much, you know, Shark Park means to him. And Woody's played at Shark Park as well, I think. So it's always massive for the whole, you know, the whole town. And therefore, obviously, the big boy to score back here was the first one on the wall. So it was nice to see him get over and, just happy for him.
Yeah, he's been through a lot, so it was good to see that. And he took a few blokes on and just decided for it. What about Fitzy, the new coach? He's obviously brought in a sturdy defence, and you blokes now sitting nicely in the top four. You must be feeling confident, and he's just such a good bloke, Fitzy, isn't he? He builds a nice culture.
Yeah, no, he's awesome bloke, and obviously he's kind of teaching us to be better men off the field and on the field as well. So we're doing our best as it is, and he's kind of always spoken about not arriving anywhere. You know, I mean, we obviously got Dragons this week and Woody in that. So they're a real physical pack. And you know, they'll obviously bring a lot of energy through that middle. And us outside backs and wingers, Woody says we do nothing, but we're going to have to roll the sleeves up, you know, this week, because I know they're going to come after us. So, we just keep our heads down and keep working. And obviously, you know, the results come. But, we're obviously playing well under Fitzy, and he's just brought a different kind of vibe to the club, and just happy to still be here.
And Ronnie, I've seen Cade Dykes, he's named at fullback. His old man played at the club in Adam. What an honour it is for him to play, and the boys been getting around him this week.
Yeah, no, like, you know, obviously no, like you said, Dykes, the old boys, no, obviously great that's been around here as well. So for them, it's going to be a special week. And like, you know what it's like for us young fellas that started off, Woodsy. I think you were probably the best thing that, I learned a lot from how you treated me and my situations is that. And that, sorry.
Tough love.
So it was a bit of tough love there. So I've honestly, tried to pass that kind of thing on to him as well. And all the boys have been doing it. So, he's an awesome kid. I just can't wait for him to come out here on the spiritual ground and be in front of all his family and that. And, Woodsy's always just said, go play your game. So I'll try and tell him the same thing, I guess. And, I can't wait for him to get out there and hopefully support him.
Good on you, mate. Thanks, Ronaldo. I really appreciate your time coming on the show and best of luck against Woodsy's Dragons on
the
weekend.
Big
don't worry, but make sure my boy comes dressed up in the blue shark.
Stop it.
Yeah, mate. He's already in the top. He's already in your top, Ronaldo. Thank you so much, mate. Time now for AFL.
Get great service, great brands, great value at Bingley. Better living every day.
Yes, let's talk AFL, Woodsy.
Yeah, Jude, after their recent form lately, many of the Swans now in third favouritism for the premiership. Do you agree?
I do, actually. I think their form's been terrific the last couple of weeks, particularly, Woodsy. I think you can't discount the fact that Collingwood have had won 10 in a row now. So they've
just by sure, small margins.
Small
as
margins,
well.
And they've had some lapses during that game, but you can only end up getting over the line.
Yeah.
But I do like the way the Swans profile at the moment, which is really strong defence. They cut teams up with their ball use, and I thought just some of the way that they just limited the Giants on the weekend and then just sliced them up. It was really impressive, and they build it on the back of pressure.
Do you reckon a little bit of extra added motivation for Buddy Franklin too with that contract drama at the moment?
A little bit, yeah. I think he's certainly playing his role inside this team at the moment. He was well held by Sam Taylor, who's a terrific defender for the Giants, but still managed to break free and kick three goals. So I thought Sam Taylor was the best player for the Giants, but he's such a good player. He found his way forward. So, it's interesting. They've got a big finish to the end of the year and probably one of the easier finishes, but the round 22 game versus Collingwood will be massive at the SCG and probably decide who's in that top four position.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. And what's the latest with the push for a 19th AFL licence in Tasmania?
I honestly thought this could have been dead in the water. We'll know by the end of the month, apparently, whether the 19th licence would be gifted towards Tasmania. They believe that they can build a stadium for less than $500 million, which previously it had been costed out at about $750
million.
Wow. So the stadium they're thinking of is Country Bank Stadium up in Townsville, which is that sort of purpose-built 25,000 sort
magnificent
of seat.
Magnificent stadium, too.
So you play it up there and just that sort of thing would be incredible for Tassie. They've got a million people live in Tassie.
Yeah, ever-growing.
Ever-growing and things like that. So I feel if this is ever the time to have a Tasmanian side, just do it now and then forever hold your peace down that way. I mean, it's sort of they've been wanting this for so long. So we'll know by the end of the month whether it gets the go-ahead or not.
They deserve it, that's for sure. What about your old mate, Mark McVay? He's the GWS interim coach after the Giants got absolutely hammered by the Swannies. This is what he said.
These are the games that you've got to get up for, and our club has prided ourselves on that for a long period of time. They're far superior to us at the moment. It's just the unfortunate part of dealing with whether players have checked out or not. If I look at the list, I reckon there was probably eight players that really went to the wall today. You talk about Kelly, Whitfield, Perriman, Taylor, Ward, Hogan, Green and Kennedy. I thought all those eight players were, fought right through to the end and tried and gave absolutely everything. But eight players doing that's not enough.
I love the honesty.
That's as honest as you'll see in any sport, being able to start naming players because you can quickly fracture a group really quickly when players are probably listening going, am I part of that eight?
Yeah.
And he keeps rattling off the names and then stops.
Imagine the head noise if you're not part of the eight.
So I'm really interested to see which side he selects this to be. Does he go with that same list and go, let's see you make a big response? Or does he go with culls a few of them and has a go? Because he's just made no uncertain terms that, hang on, that the way they're performing at the moment is unacceptable.
You can say that Mark McVay certainly went to the wall every time he played. Yeah. So that's what he wants in his charges. What about this? Two champions announced their retirement at the end of the season. Dave Mundy from Fremantle and Josh Kennedy, an absolute legend at West Coast.
Yeah, so, I mean, firstly, Mundy, 19 seasons at the elite level. I mean, 371 games. He's He's kicked the winner after the siren against Richmond twice. It's just so
nice.
You know, really consistent performer. And then Josh Kennedy, 704 goals. He's a three-time All-Australian, dual Coleman medalist and a premiership player. So both will go down as just upper echelon players. And, yeah, it's always sad at this time of year when you start to, you know, any injury or any sort of announcements start to happen along the way. So, yeah, but wishing them both well.
Sometimes I'd love to be able to share the type of stuff we talk about in here when the songs are on.
There's
but
a show within the show.
There is a show within the show. There's no doubt about it. We used to have the No BS lunch for the grill team. We should have the...
Got to bring it back, guys. That was the best ever.
The No BS lunch for this particular
show. What
about
After Dark? After Dark, yeah.
Very nice. Let's work on that for the end of the year. I want to talk now about dining out post-COVID because I've done it the last, well, two out of the last 4 days, actually. And the fact is you don't have waiters and waitresses much anymore. They've got these QR codes, you know, on the tables, and you've got to basically do the QR code. Then you've got to do all your menu and your drinks and you do all your stuff there. Basically, they're collecting data, which is really valuable for them, firstly. But secondly, where's the chat now with the waiters and the waitress? We're in that sort of social connection. There's so much less now, more phone time. I just don't like it. And it makes me sort of feel like I hope it doesn't go that way because there's a whole generation of people that are waiters and waitresses, young people, mate, getting them through uni and whatever. They won't have these jobs if the QR code is the thing.
I'm with you, Gussie. I hate it because you know the other reason? Say when you're going to have a beer with your mates
and
you're checking these QR codes, your missus can see where you're going or not.
Hang on, Woodsy. Gussie.
It's like a trail of dirt that she can follow. She knows where you've been the whole night.
Your breadcrumbs.
Yeah, it's not good.
You've got to understand these small businesses, though. Like, they're struggling to get staff. So that just quickens it up. But how bad is it standing at the bar waiting for
ages to get
a beer? It comes to your table within a second.
Yeah, but you can sit and chew the fat with someone at the bar when you're ordering drinks.
I love that too. But I can also sit at my table with the friends and actually have a beer and wait. It comes straight away.
You can get tips, but if you've got people coming out to serve your table.
Well, I actually don't mind tipping people if they do some service. So today at lunchtime, right, went to this place. So we put the order and so forth in. They go, what would you like to tip? And I'm like, man, I don't want to tip anything at the moment.
You wouldn't tip on a good day anyway, Gus.
I actually sort of went,
deep pocket,
I haven't actually done anything yet. Like I've walked in, sat down myself, got the QR code. I've done all the ordering and so forth. And then the options came up 10, 15, or 20%. I said, am I in America? Like, we don't tip here unless unless the service is good, right? How would you know if the service is going to be good? It hasn't even happened yet. So for me, that's just stiff. And I just don't like it. I like the fact, let's go back to old school, employ young kids and
young women.
Well, whatever. Yeah. What do you reckon? Gus, Jude and Wendell, Woodsy in for Wendell. And guys, talking about lies at work, only 28% of us are lying regularly to our bosses. So that's good.
Down from 52% in 2018.
That is really good. And on social media, just 11% of us are misrepresenting ourselves in posts. Well,
hang on. I call BS on that.
Yeah, I reckon that's 91% of us just making out our lives better on social media than it actually is. Down a whopping 38%. Nah. That's a lie.
You're lying about the lies.
Yeah, but what about this? When it comes to family, however, Australians are a little looser with the truth.
Interesting.
29% used work as an excuse to avoid time with family.
Correct.
Up 9%.
Oh, correct.
I'm not asking you.
Sorry.
Don't we throw yourself under the bus, mate.
That's what you said in the break, wasn't it, Gus?
And 42% of us lie about our whereabouts to family or friends, up 27%. Varying lies across the generations with millennials and Generation Z. Who are that? Who's that? Is that sort of young people now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Current one, yes.
More likely to lie than Generation X and the baby boomers, which is sort of more my generation.
But the lying to family and friends, I mean, is that just like, oh, I can't get there because of the Ubers, you know, the Ubers dropped out on me twice.
Yeah,
I'm
waiting on the side of the road here, but really you're just ordering another beer.
What about when you're on the phone to someone and like, they just keep talking, you're like, oh, I've got someone else ring me, I'll give you a call back.
Yeah.
That's one of them.
You do that all the time.
That's my go-to.
What about the battery charge on the phone? That's
it's
easy.
It's gone dead. Especially when you're having a couple of brewskis.
Something wrong with this bloody phone. It just loses power so quickly and so easily.
What about a lie for a lie? Do you ever get caught in your own lies? I tell that many lies I don't even know what the truth is anymore.
You're a web of deceit.
Sometimes I am. My missus always catches me out.
It's part of your beautiful character.
Woodsy's web, just spinning.
Yeah.
It.
What about you, Jude? I mean, are you a little loose with the truth at times?
I try to be pretty straight down the line, but sometimes I'm on my way. I'm coming, yeah. And I actually have got another beer.
You're a bit
coming.
Loose on the. You are loose on the beers in the nicest possible way. You're not getting up to too much nasty stuff or anything or silly stuff.
I hope
but you
not.
You do love it.
I just love a long lunch. I love a long lunch.
Yeah, you've got no exit. I've got another mate called Spen. He's got no exit strategy. So he goes out with no plan.
Yep.
Whereas I go out with a plan. By a certain time, I'm going to be leaving.
You're smoke bomb
and
city,
and I'm smoke bomb city. Bang.
Do you ever say goodbye? Or do you tip anyone up?
No, they just know. They just turn around and sort of, 10 minutes later, I'm toast.
Gussie's like LeBron James with the chalk and just throws it up and then suddenly he's gone.
But do you do it when it's your round?
No, mate. I always make sure that I'm first up for drinks and I always make sure that I pay before I go.
That's another lie right now in this season.
Now it's time to talk NRL with Woodsy. Go for it, Jude.
Yeah, Woodsy, Jacob Arthur has got the starting spot for Mitchell Moses. They currently sit sixth and two wins clear of the Raiders in ninth position. Could they slip out of the top eight?
Oh, look, there's a chance they could, but I don't think so, Jude. I think Jacob Arthur, he's a really good young player coming through, and I think if he just doesn't overplay his hand, he just delivers the ball to his back row in Papalihi nice and early, finds Penasini early, just doesn't, like I said, don't overplay it. Just kick to the corners, what Mitchell does well. And, just play with some good direction. So that's just something he's got to work hard on. And just, he doesn't have to overdo it too much. He's still got Dylan Brown there who's really good and Reid Marnie who can steer the ship as well. So, look, I don't think they'll fall out of the eight. I think they'll probably jag a couple of wins. And speaking of Mitchell, he said the surgery was a success and it won't be as long as everyone first thought.
Now, Woodsy, yesterday you went viral on TikTok.
What's TikTok?
You said this.
Freddie and Billy Slater come out and they were like, oh, he's a good bloke and we don't want to be missing these good players before semi-finals. And that's bullcrap, if you ask me. Yeah. I reckon that's rubbish. He had a prior charge already on Billy Walters early on in the year. So he would have got 4 weeks, but he had that. That's an extra week. And if you watch the tackle, I remember Freddie come out and said that, Liam Martin helped it a bit. No, he didn't. He pulled off the tackle and you see Cleary re-grip and get a hand in between the leg. Just because he comes out on Instagram and says, I'm sorry, it was totally out of character. But that's what happens in a rugby league field. Things can go one way or the other. But remember he got in trouble for the TikTok?
Mm.
People forget about that as well. If Jared Hargraves does the spear tackle, would give him life
people
nearly in
life.
This game.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Now, you're not a fan of the good guy defence for Nathan Cleary, are you?
Oh, no, I love the good guy defence. You've got to have a defence in your team, but I'll just call a spade, and that's how I see it, I've played with a lot of good guys, and I've played with a lot of bad guys as well, and I just think everyone should be treated the same way. I'm not having a go at Nathan Cleary. I'm just saying, just because he's a good bloke doesn't mean he should be getting off the charge with a lesser charge, which I think, blokes like Freddie and that, they can have their say, but this is my say, and this is what I believe in. And the other thing is they've come out and sprayed Patrick Carrigan for his hip drop. Well, the charge from Nathan Cleary in the start of the year was a hip drop on Billy Walters, and he got off on that. So it's come back to bite him on the bum, and that's what happens. That's what these charges are for, and they were all reset from the start of the year as well. So he started the year with nothing. So, yeah, the good guy, you can use a good guy as a defence, but if I was a judge, it wouldn't go well with me.
Did you get some feedback after that?
I got quite a fair bit of feedback and, a lot of positive, but let's just say next time I play out of Penrith, it's going to be a little bit of a rough reception, I reckon.
Fair enough. I like a bloke who has an opinion, exactly. Not sitting on the fence. Well played. The Gold Coast Titans are looking to bring in Shane Flanagan as Justin Holbrook's chief assistant. This, to me, just smells of just paping over or putting a Band-Aid over a situation. Holbrook at some stage has either got to coach this team or not. You can't just keep putting people around him. He's already got Meninga. He's already got Gordon Tallis. Is it time that Flanagan just takes over full whack?
Yeah, look, I don't think it'd work with Flanagan at the same place. Flanagan's also got aspirations to be head coach. I've had Shane at Cronulla Sharks, and he was by far one of the top three coaches I've ever had, and I've had a few coaches in my time.
Strong character, isn't he?
Very strong character, really good with the group, and he reads the room really well. And like we had some really different characters, Andrew Fifita's, Paul Gallen's, Luke Lewis, Josh Dugan's, and somehow he got them all right come the weekend when we're playing, and he just understands it, and he knows that it's not just rugby league. There's a life away from rugby league, and you can have a conversation with him about rugby league, and then 2 seconds later, he will ask you how your family's going, or he's got a valued interest in outside of footy as well. And it sort of makes you feel comfortable, and you want to run for a brick wall for him at the end of the week. So if they did go for Shane Flanagan, I reckon he could really turn that Gold Coast, the performance around it, especially getting Kieran Foran. I think he'd work really well with Flano. And I know that's the type of player that he does like, the old school, real tough sort of mental players.
And now I want to talk about FOMO, that fear of missing out, which is obviously a big part of people's lives sometimes. And you you get it, mate. Yeah.
I get it massively. Like if there's a group of people having night out or something like that, I'm like, I've just got to get a part of it. Or, you know, if someone says, oh, we're having another drink somewhere, or, yeah, I'll meet you there.
So you won't leave necessarily at 9 o'clock when they're moving on to somewhere else, because you just want to keep going.
You want to squeeze the most out of a night, but then I can pull up. Whereas one of my best mates, Dan, he's just a lunatic, and he's very spontaneous. So like he just has the worst FOMO or fear of missing out. And
they're good fun though, people like that.
Oh, you just strap yourself to it and like you go with them. Like he's brilliant to be around. But he had it that bad one day, and it's probably the most extreme example I could think of, because he was traveling overseas, and then Spain won the World Cup in 2010 against the Netherlands, 1-0, and he went, I'm just pulling the trigger. And he bought a ticket to go to Madrid just to be in the streets and party, and he just. He's just gone.
I just wanted one ticket.
I'm going there. He and another mate of mine were traveling through Europe, and he just went, we're getting there. It'll be the best street party. And sure enough, a million people are spilling out onto the streets.
For the next week.
And they're, you know, the buses are getting travel through when the Spanish team came through. But like just that fear of he didn't want to miss out. There's a bigger party somewhere else.
Good on
I've
him.
Got to get
I
there.
I like this
I wish
bloke.
I was this bloke.
Yeah. Oh, what's his name again?
Dan.
Dan's got to come to
Dan
the he's got to come to our No BS lunch.
Oh, no, he's a good man, Dan.
After dark.
That's for sure. Rush Hour After Dark. We're putting that together. We're talking about FOMO. What have you missed out on? Brad Haddon just texting us. I get it out on night out all the time, mostly after midnight. Imagine.
That's like, fair enough.
Hads, when he goes, Hads goes. I remember on the grill team once when they won the World Cup. Down and at about 7:30 in the morning, they were still going in the dressing room at the MCG, and he was handing the phone round.
What a legend.
To everyone. Like, he's an absolute legend. What about Vanessa on the Central Coast? What did you miss out on, Vanessa?
Hey, guys. Going to my mother's second wedding about 10 years ago, I was catching a bus from Central up to the Central Coast, and because there was no trains going. And the bus was running an hour and a half late. She was getting married at 1 o'clock.
You missed the wedding.
So at least you made the first one.
What time did you actually turn up? It was a reception?
It wasn't
or?
The first one. It's probably the third one.
Thank you, Vanessa. You said you missed out on something, big man?
Yeah, I missed out on our Mad Monday in 2013. Oh. Absolutely filthy legends.
Best day ever.
Mate, so we played our last game up in Townsville, and the boys booked a trip to Cairns to stay the great
sense.
Gilligans.
You guys had the head in the game and the head in the finals?
Yeah, we got beat by 50, and it was straight to the Gilligan's three-hour road trip. And I was the worst.
What happened to you?
Worst 4 days. I had to get surgery that week because the season was over. They said, get it now. You can start your rehab. So I'm sulking on the couch. My missus is going, what's wrong? And I said, the boys are having the time of their life. Filthy.
Poor Woodsy. What about Daniel? G'day, Daniel.
G'day, mate.
What did you miss out on?
So I was asleep one night. My mate comes and knocks on my window. Let's sneak out. I'm going to a party in town. I said, no, being the responsible person that I was, so I had got to go to school tomorrow. And next thing I know, I see him on TV. The winner is Sydney. There he is, front and center for the announcement of the 2000 biggest party in
serve
Sydney.
Serve yourself right for being a good boy, mate.
Tell you, that was early 90s, wasn't it? It was like 7 years before we got it. I do remember that too. I think I patched a stranger that night.
Oh, here we go.
Everyone was kissing each other that night once the result came in. The winner is Sydney. You just turned around, whoever, guy, girl, anyone, it just didn't matter. Everyone was just into each other that night.
Look, yeah.
Anyway, such a great experience.
Missed out, Daniel.
Probably overspoken there. Time now to talk to Emma Frio about the Comm Games.
Couldn't burn the midnight oil to watch? That's all right. It's a Triple M Rush Hour. Update from Birmingham.
There we are, and Emma Freeman doing a magnificent job, as she always does. Frio, welcome to the show.
Gussie, Jude, Woodsy, great to speak with you. And yeah, it's been a good week so far with a week to go.
Exactly. So we're dominant as we expected to be, and I suppose we're now looking for our 1,000th gold medal. But the pool certainly has been dominant. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah, amazing. Headlined by Emma McKean, obviously getting her 12th ever Commonwealth Games gold medal last night in the 50 fly, which was an event. Obviously, she's very good at, but she's not necessarily a shoe-in to get. So she was sensational last night. She's still got another relay tonight. So she could take that to 13 gold medals, which is simply extraordinary. Yeah.
And Freo, tonight, Cody Simpson, he's qualified for the 100-meter butterfly. Is he a chance of getting a medal?
Oh, he's qualified fifth for the final, which was his aim going into this meet. So the big pipeline dream for Cody was obviously Paris 2024. So to make the Commonwealth Games team anyway was just a bit of a bonus. And then I guess he readjusted his goals and you went, oh, you know what? Maybe I'll try and make the final. If I can make the final, I'll be really happy. So he's qualified fifth fastest. He's up against some absolute superstars of the butterfly world. I reckon he's a chance of sneaking a bronze if he can pull a rabbit out of a hat. It's going to be tough to do it his first ever international competition as a senior. But the story of Cody Simpson, I caught up with him on the Gold Coast about 6 weeks ago before he headed over for the training camps in Europe. And I was honestly blown away by this guy and just his level of determination and persistence and commitment to swimming. But also, he is one very nice, humble human. He was a delight to be around.
Frio, Rowan Browning hits off in the 100-metre heats and things like that. How do you think he's going to perform?
Well, if we're going off his World Championships efforts, Jude, we're going to be wanting a little bit more. He didn't even make the finals when it came to the World Champs in Oregon a couple of weeks ago. But we know that, I mean, Shervo tells me this, that he's tapering. I don't know if I necessarily believe him, but I think in the crowd that he's amongst, you know, he should go really well in his heat tonight and then finals to follow after that. Again, I think he's a chance of sneaking a medal when it comes to that final of that 100-metre dash. But, yeah, it's hard to get a real read on him because of what happened at World Champs and how he didn't qualify for that final. So it's a tricky one. But wasn't he the story of Tokyo and how the flying mullet really came out swinging and really shocked us all getting into that semi-final? And, an amazing guy who's only going to get better as the years go on.
And Freya, what about poor Kyle Bruce getting disqualified for not fully extending his arms? Have they got the NRL judicial the bunker in there? Have they watched them?
Oh my God, Woodsy, that one, and also the one with Maddie Glaitzer the other night in the individual sprint. Like, I literally said on air, I was like, "Hey, is the bunker taken care of?" Like, he was hard done by last night. I agree. So the situation was that he was in the gold medal position in the weight lifting in his division, and the judge's ruling on video that he didn't fully extend one of his arms for long enough when he was in that press position. But I kept looking at it going, I can't see the arm really bending. I'm not really sure about that. So yeah, he got relegated to silver, and then poor Matty Glaitzer the other night, he won the bronze in the individual sprint and then ended up getting relegated to fourth because apparently he impeded the Scottish cyclist. Geez. So, yeah, it's been a games of a few interesting decisions.
Yeah, it happens in all sports and every level. Thank you so much, Freo. Loving Shervo in particular. I think you're the new sort of couple for TV for Channel 7. You did a great job.
Gussie, turn it up, mate. Turn it up. I don't know. Do you know what? You're the only one watching when we get on air at 3:30. So mate,
I'll keep texting you and let you know I'm there, babe. See you later, Freo.
See ya.
Thanks, buddy.